morning, everybody. How are you all? Yeah. I'm curious, how many here over the last, let's just say 3 weeks, have had the flu in your house? Or, yeah, oh gosh, holy cow. So Wendy got the flu, and I haven't been sick in like 2 years. I'm peak of health. Like supernaturally healthy for like 2 years. And Wendy gets the flu, and then she gets it for like 5-6 days or something. And I'm just like, I got supernatural health, baby. But you, I don't know, maybe you need to repent of something. And and then like last Monday, I wake up and I feel like I got hit by a truck. Fever, body aches, all that. Is that what you had? You were sick like a couple weeks ago, weren't you, Andy? 2 big of muscles. So like, it was just, so, and then, so I've, 2 smart, 2 big of muscles. I mean, I don't know. So anyway, so it's just, it's like one of those things. So if I'm in the middle of my message and I just kind of go, that's why. So that's why. Anyway, so hey, a couple of quick things. Preview is next week. If you've not been to Preview, Mercy Vineyard Preview is kind of a look under the hood. Maybe you're thinking about being a member here, or you're just kind of here and you kind of want to know where we came from. Maybe you've never been to a vineyard. You're like, what in the world is a vineyard? We have to answer all that questions, and we have lunch together, and it's just a great time. But see, if you haven't been to Preview, I just want to invite you to come to Preview next week. It is great. And then we can show the text alerts thing just in case. It looks like the worst of winter's over, but just in case, and we could have a hurricane or something. So if you want to be alerted when service is canceled or there's an emergency, then you could just text the word alerts to that number, and we will alert you if something happens. So that's all that. So hey, good morning. My name is Lee. If we haven't met, I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And really quickly, let me just, one of the most important things about that I like you guys to know about the church is our mission. And so this is the mission of Mercy Vineyard Church. Hey, let's say it together. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater of glory of God. That's what we're all about, right? We're loving God. We're loving each other. We're loving others. We're loving our community. We're growing in Jesus. We're going. We're serving. We've got this camp for abused and neglected foster children. We're serving each other. We're serving in the body. So it's just wonderful things. So that's what we're all about. So if it's your first time here, thank you for checking us out. Thank you very much for checking us out. It can be weird to visit a church. If it's your first time at a church, you can be like, this is kind of weird. People are hugging. They're just passing the flu back and forth. I don't know what's going on. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask me. Ask somebody with a lanyard. You can go to findmercy.org anytime. Reach out to us there. And if it's your second time here, thanks for coming back. I'm glad you liked it enough to come back a second time. So make sure you fill out a connection card, and we'll send you some whiteies if it's your first time here. Yeah, so I went there yesterday. There was like a line out the door. What's the deal? So anyway, I know the weather it gets above 50 here, and everybody just flocks to whiteies. So, but this morning we're continuing our series on leading others. Remember, we've been going through a series on leadership, on how we started off talking about how God has called us as believers to lead people into the newness that God offers, right? God, he's coming to make all things new, and we get to be a part of that. And we get to lead people into the newness of Jesus, and into redemption, and into freedom, and into forgiveness, and it's a wonderful thing. And we talked about leading our families last week. That was Wendy. And she talked about leading our families. That was fantastic. And living it out in front of our families. And so today what I want to talk about is leading in our church. And what does that look like? Because, you know, you don't have to have a title to lead in the church, right? You don't need to have the title. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to even lead a team to lead others in our church. And I want to talk about that because I'm here today because when I was a teenager, I was about 15 years old, there were people in my church that just saw that I needed somebody to reach out to me. So I'm like a young kid. And if you don't know much about my background, I know I haven't really shared like my testimony in full detail, but I was a welfare kid. And, you know, we drove up to church in an old beat-up car. My brother and I lived with my mom. My parents were divorced. My dad was an alcoholic. And so we were a mess. And so I came to church, and I didn't think a whole lot about myself. And in fact, in our church culture, I thought very small. Like, I would go to church and feel even less about myself. Because I'd look around, and I'd see all the people that kind of have it together. And so we were at a large church, and there were people that, you know, were business owners, and they were wealthy, and they all seemed happy and well put together. And here I was wearing, you know, hand-me-downs that were probably like third or fourth generation hand-me-downs. And, you know, my mom cut my hair. And so there I was. I was pretty rough. But there were people there that spoke life into me. There were people there, and they weren't necessarily pastors. You know, they would speak life into me. They took time to speak into me, to encourage me, to put their arm around me. And a lot of them were kids church leaders and youth leaders. They're just volunteers. They're just people that, you know, volunteered with the youth group. And I remember there was a guy named Brad. And the flu makes it hard not to cry. But there was a guy named Brad who just, you know, invited me over, you know, for like ice cream and like asked me if I wanted to go to the gym with him and just would let me call him up whenever I wanted to. And Brad was in my wedding, you know, and so years later, Brad came out to Denver after I moved to Denver to be in my wedding. And so just people that spoke in my life and they influenced me in really profound ways. And I'm so grateful today for the way that they stepped up to lead me at church. 30 years ago, you know, 15 years old. And you might have a similar story, maybe a Sunday school teacher, you know, just really kind of spoke into your life. Maybe a youth leader challenged you to grow in Jesus. I love youth leaders, and I love youth, because like, I can't say for this generation, because I'm just super old now, but like, back in the day, it was okay for a youth leader to come around and put their arm around you and go, dude, you need to change your attitude, what's going on in your life. You're like, nowadays, you go, hey, dude, you need to change your attitude, what's going on in your life. You get some sort of snarky Facebook thing. I guess people at church don't like just me, they're just the way I am, you know. And so, like, back in the day, though, you could kind of speak to somebody that way and go, hey, what's going on? Well, let's, you know, what are some things in your life that you just need to just ruthlessly cut out and things like that. And I loved it. And I love that they just spoke truth to me and lovingly to me. But maybe somebody influenced you that way, you know, as a teenager, as a young adult. Maybe you've actually never experienced that, but you're like, I wish somebody would, you know. I wish somebody would just kind of speak open and honestly with me. I wish somebody would kind of see that I have a need or see that, you know, I'm hurting. And I wish somebody would kind of put their arm around me. That sounds really wonderful. But I believe that in church, we all lead in some way or another. All of us lead in some way or another. And for some of us, we lead directly by doing what I mentioned before, just by speaking life or encouraging somebody or maybe gently rebuking somebody. Others of us lead by our example, you know. And we either lead by our example of involvement, and we lead by our example of worship, or we lead by our example of an active example, or we lead passively, you know, and people see our inactivity, or people see kind of our disdain towards the church, or the people around us, or people see when we have a frumpy attitude, and we're leading during those times, and so we're always leading, we're always influencing somebody, and so it's so important to remember that we all influence, whether it's intentionally, or whether it's unintentionally, we lead. But how can we lead? How can we influence within our church in a way that helps others to love, right? And to grow and to go for the greater glory of God. So we're going to talk about that. And I think it's super important. And let's pray first. Father, we love you so much. And God, we want to be people who lead well. God, whether we carry a leadership title or not, we want to lead others well. God, we want to be... We want to live lives worth imitating. God, I pray that you'd make us those people for your glory. Lord, you're mighty and you're awesome, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to start off, but I think this is probably one of the best, most beautiful leadership stories of the entire Bible. It's from John chapter 13. And it's at this moment, Jesus' time on earth was coming pretty close to an end, right? So Jesus' three-year ministry was almost over. He'd been with the disciples, and they're together, and he's sharing a meal with them. And he decides to pass on to them the most important leadership lesson of all, of all. And it goes like this. It says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples. Anybody say loved? Yeah. See, he loved his disciples during his ministry on earth. And now he loved them to the very end. I love that he used the word love twice in that one verse. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and we returned to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around them. I love how, like, when Jesus made the decision to wash the disciples' feet, it wasn't out of it wasn't out of a position of, well, I got nothing better to do. I guess I can make some contribution to their life, so I'll wash their feet. You know what I mean? It says that Jesus had realized that he had all this authority. It was at that moment when Jesus realized that he had all the same authority that God had. He had all of this power, and he went, I'm going to wash feet, right? So Jesus didn't wash the disciples' feet simply because, you know, he felt like, well, I guess I could do this. It was, he knew he had all this power, all this authority, and he washed their feet. I just, for some reason, that just blows my mind, okay? Because a lot of us, if like we woke up one day and we realized that we had all this like power and authority, I don't think we'd go around washing feet, right? We'd be like, you know, whatever. So, that's just an aside. That's the flu talking. So, but Jesus was illustrating to the disciples what leadership in the church looks like. That's what Jesus, you know, was illustrating. This is what leadership in the church looks like, and it's to look like by taking the most humble, menial, totally beneath him task and lovingly performing it for them. That's awesome. I love that scripture there. Just, you know, in this day and age where like, you know, a lot of people feel like, you know, they need to be on a platform, you know. And if you ever, I've been to churches where it's like people are jockeying to get on the platform, you know. I sing better than that guy. I don't know why I'm not up there. You know, I play better than that. I don't know why I'm not doing that. You know, I'm more qualified than that leader. I don't know why I'm not doing that. But Jesus is like, who has all authority and all power, who's more qualified than any of us, and he washes feet. If that doesn't convict you just a little, man, pinch yourself, okay? Because that sure does me quite a bit, all right? And Jesus embodied the servant leader, which I believe is the picture that really, when we're talking about leadership in the church, when we're talking about leading each other, we should be tacking that word servant onto it, because we're servant leaders. That's what God calls us to do. And it's a picture of what leadership should look like in the church, is this idea of being a servant leader, right? And so Jesus embodied that. And so, you know, if you remember, I just want you to remember one thing. Please remember this morning, is that the church is in need of people who lead. The church is in need of people who lead. Man, that's just such a tough one. But the church is in need, okay? And I'm going to be using leadership and servant and serving a little bit interchangeably today. So if I say serving and leading, understand that they're kind of the same thing, right? Serving and leading are they're like the same thing, okay? And so for just a minute, I want to talk specifically about leading, like leading in a team or leading a growth group or leading an event for the church. And one of those things where there's like maybe there's a title attached or there's a consistent responsibility attached. So I'm going to kind of speak to those of us today that are maybe leading in an area or maybe considering leading in an area of the church. Okay, and so of all the roles that needs to be filled in the church, really like leadership roles are the hardest to fill. You know, you ever notice that? Have you ever like somebody talked to you about maybe leading something and you kind of just like, You're like, you know what I'm saying? Because we do that. You know, it's like, hey, we need somebody to lead. Oh, great. Yeah. Well, I hope you find somebody. If you need anybody to fill in once in a while, just give me a call. I'll fill in. You know, and so we're so afraid to lead stuff. It's like there's this fear of leadership. It's so funny because so many people are like, hey, man, if you need me to fill in somewhere sometime, I'll fill in. Hey, I'm there for you. I'll fill in. I got your back. You know, but like, oh, wait a minute. You want me to lead? That's Forrest. You know, it's anybody but me. These are the roles that kind of carry greater responsibility, or maybe there's commitment to them. And so people do tend to shy away from them. But the church at large, and this church is really in need of people who will stand up and accept responsibility and count the cost and lead the way. That's really what the church needs. The church is built on people like this. That's how the church is built, on people who say, hey, I'll lead. You know, and I would really encourage you to just strongly pray. If you've kind of been one of those people that are sort of like back away from the idea of leading, I don't know, man. Is there a meeting? Is there a meeting with that? You know, what do I got to do? You know, pray about it and say, maybe God's kind of pushing you. Maybe God's kind of going, hey, we'll stretch and grow and be a part of that. I think Ezekiel 22:30, and we read it a couple weeks ago, is just kind of one of the saddest leadership verses in the Bible. And I feel this way about church sometimes when I read the verse. It says, I looked for somebody who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for somebody to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. I just think that those last words, when God says, I found no one, it's like so sad, isn't it? Like, when you're thinking about God is like, hey, I'm looking for somebody. Somebody who will stand in the gap. Somebody who will go, hey, I'll take up that leadership mantle. Hey, I'll serve in that way. It requires an extra meeting, I'm there. I don't care. Hey, it requires leading other people. That, you know what? That's uncomfortable for me. And yeah, I'm going to have to stretch and grow into that. But I'm there because God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Because God is looking for somebody who will rebuild the wall. God is looking for somebody who will say, hey, here am I. Send me, right? And so, I don't know. Maybe sometimes we feel that it's somehow more humble to say, "Oh no, I won't lead. Don't make me lead. I'll just serve in the background. I'm humble, you know, or whatever." And so for whatever the reason, let me just kind of release you from that and go, God's looking for you. God's looking for somebody. He's looking. You know, his eyes are moving to and fro throughout the land, right? And so God is looking for people who will lead. That's what God wants. Okay? And so what are some of the things that we can learn from Jesus' example of a servant leadership in a broader sense? So let's zoom back out a little bit. So we kind of zoomed in on maybe leading teams or leading in our church or teaching in our church or whatever those things. Let's kind of zoom out a little bit. What are some of the things from Jesus' example? The first thing is this. When we're leading others, let genuine love be your motivation. That's really why we lead. Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Man, it was love. And you all know, when you are a parent, right? And I'll tell you what. When we had babies, when our boys were babies, Cole and Hudson and Forrest, when they're just little guys, and I was changing the 200th diaper, it was because I loved them. It wasn't because I enjoyed changing diapers, right? And so we were motivated by love. And I remember, even Forrest, when he was just a little guy, and I'm changing a dirty diaper, and I've got him on the changing table, and I used to sing him this song, and it's an old Dennis Jernigan song, and I'd sing, I love you, oh how I love you, while I'm changing a diaper, right? I was motivated by love, not because I enjoy poop, right? Not because I have a passion for diapers. It was just because of love. It was because of love. It wasn't because I had a gift, right? I just loved. And so love should be our motivation for leading and serving others, for servant leadership. That is our motivation. It's love. And I think that, I'm all about finding your gift and operating in it and you're passionate about it. I'm all about that. That's great. That's wonderful and everything. But I think we've pushed that so much that we've used the excuse, I don't have a passion, or that's not my gifting. as an excuse for stepping away from serving others in the church. And I think we've harmed ourselves because now, you know, you can't find people to lead because they don't have a passion, they don't have a gifting, whatever, you know. But God says, hey, let love be your motivation. Jesus loved the disciples. He washed their feet. And I'm sure Jesus didn't have a passion for washing feet, all right? And so he was motivated by let genuine love be your motivation. And so verse 1 says that Jesus loved his disciples to the very end. Remember that? First verse, it says twice. He loved his disciples to the very end. He loved, he loved, he loved. And when we genuinely love others, it's so much easier to serve them with a purpose in mind, right? We serve with purpose in mind. We don't serve with a task in mind. We serve with purpose in mind, okay? So instead of just like putting in time with Mercy Kids, right? We serve them with the purpose of raising a generation that loves Jesus more than anything, right? Right, Linda? I'm sure Linda shows up sometimes on Sundays, and she's probably tired, and she's probably like, you know, just like, oh, man, I gotta teach the kids today, even though I'm tired, or whatever. But, you know, Linda's back there thinking, but, you know, I'm raising a generation who loves Jesus. I'm teaching kids to pray for each other. I'm teaching kids the Word and planting seeds in their heart. And so she's back there, and she's serving with a purpose. And the purpose isn't just to fulfill a task. The purpose is so much greater than that. And that's raising a generation. And we see that purpose because we love, right? So we love the kids, and we see that purpose, and that's why we serve. And so instead of just putting in our time, we're doing it with purpose. Instead of just making coffee, what are we doing? We're helping people feel welcome, right? And valued. And go, we're so glad that you're here. And we want to bless you. Instead of just, you know, praying for people because, hey, that's just my job today. I'm supposed to pray for people. I'm on the prayer team. We're like, I just want to see God break through in their lives. I just want to see, you know, there's a greater purpose to what we're doing. And so when we're up here doing this and I'm playing the wrong rhythm and all of that, it's not because I got to get this task done. It's my turn to serve today. It's because, hey, I get to help lead people into the presence of God. There's a greater purpose. When we're motivated by love, our purpose becomes so much greater than just the task at hand. And so that's just so important. Let genuine love be your motivation, okay? See, love turns us into raving fans. It does. Love turns us into raving fans. And so when we love people and we love Jesus, all of a sudden, instead of serving and leading others feeling sort of like a drudgery or a task or something I got to check off my list, and we're like, we're raving fans. I love people. Okay? We wouldn't still be doing this 5 years in if we weren't like raving fans of what God is doing and raving fans of you guys and loving you guys, you know? And so let love be your motivation. It turns you into raving fans. Ask Jesus to help you love others. So when you come into church on a Sunday and maybe you're serving or maybe you're not serving or maybe you're leading somewhere or thinking about it, just walk in and go, God, just help me to love everybody today. Help me to see people with your eyes. Help me to hear people with your ears. You know, let genuine love be your motivation. You know, we mentioned kind of like when you join a church, a lot of times we join a church because of what we're getting from the church, right? When we're choosing a church, we take sort of a consumer approach. Well, they got the programs that I like. I like the times that they meet at service. They've got some pretty good music. The preacher's okay. He's so-so. You know, we choose a church based out of what we get out of it. But you know what? A lot of times we stay at a church because of what we're able to contribute to it, right? And so that's why we stay, is because we get to be a part of it, because we love Jesus, because we're raving fans. And so ask Jesus to help you to love others the way that he does. The way that he does. So cool. So the next thing is this. You know what? When you're serving others, just disregard the downers. Disregard the downers. It's so important. You know, a lot of times we serve people, right? And they don't always say thank you. A lot of times maybe we speak into someone's life and they don't take our advice. You know? Like, the worst thing in the world is to sit there and watch somebody, maybe your brother or sister in the Lord at church, like, make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, and you speak into their life and you say, hey man, let's have some wisdom and let's pray together and let's see if we can get you on the right path, and they just go and they ignore everything that you say, and you just watch their lives fall apart. You know, have you ever been there before? Yeah, right? And it can be so discouraging when you're serving people and you encounter downers, right? Excuse me. And there's always going to be downers when you serve people. There's always going to be people that are going to make you feel just unappreciated, that are going to disappoint you. You know, there's always going to be people that disappoint me. There's always going to be people who discourage you. It's like this. It's like trying to serve this woman here. Go ahead and show this video.
This is so amazing. This is such a special night, and I am surrounded by everyone that matters to me, especially you, Chad.
Well, your friend better get here soon, because I think they're about to start.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I bet you're the only person to take your first babysitter to the Oscars.
Well, we used to put on plays in my living room, and that's when I really fell in love with acting. Oh my God! Here she is! Hi, Deb!
Hey! Sorry I'm late. There was an accident on the 405. From the looks of it, there may have been fatalities. You gotta assume that when they bring out the jaws of life.
You're enjoying your day, everything's going your way. Then along comes Debbie Downer. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. We beg her to spare you, Debbie, please. But you can't stop Debbie Downer.
I'm so glad you're here. Chad, this is Debbie. She used to babysit me.
Hi, nice to meet you, Debbie.
Hi. Wow, Hillary, you really look like a movie star.
Oh, you look nice too.
Yeah, it's hard to find dresses that hang right on my frame. Way to go, scoliosis.
So you got the speech ready, Hillary?
You better be thanking us.
Oh, come on, guys.
Ooh, check out the diamonds.
Oh, Harry Winston.
Yeah, just think, one of those diamonds could probably pay to rebuild countless homes destroyed by the tsunami.
Okay, guys, I think it's about to start.
Okay, wow.
Hey, wow, that's a pretty big ribbon.
Oh, yeah, I had a normal size one till 2 weeks ago when they discovered the super strain.
Has anybody here ever tried to encourage somebody like that? Yes. And it's just like, And so sometimes we get in this sort of sketch where it's just like, or this situation where, you know, people are ungrateful, or you wonder, you're wondering, like, you know, you get discouraged about stepping up in church because you're wondering why other people don't, or you know, there's just careless people for you to leave a mess to clean up after, you know. And sometimes when we step up to serve and to lead other people, they can be difficult, and like they can just sap your energy. And they don't listen, and you're just like, and can I just say, just do it anyway. Just keep leading anyway. Don't get discouraged. Don't let downers discourage you when you're trying to serve others, because there's always going to be times. Listen, you know, there's been times when I've served over at King's Harvest. Anybody ever go serve at King's Harvest? And sometimes it's like so, like, discouraging. And you go, oh my goodness. This guy's still here. If he would just, you know, get off the drugs, if he would just, you know, stop, you know. And you're watching people kind of like, almost like destroy their own lives, but you're still like serving them and helping them. And sometimes, man, you just got to ignore the downers and go, okay, God, let me be motivated by love. Let me be motivated by a higher purpose. Let me just do what Jesus did. I mean, you know, among the disciples whom Jesus washed their feet, he washed Judas' feet. And he knew what he was going to do, you know. And so we have to understand that even though there's downers, even though there's discouraging situations, even though there's times where, like, I just give up because people are never going to change, right? Step up anyway. Do it again. Do it again. Come back again. Speak into their lives again. Give them another cup of coffee. Give them another hug. Speak another word of encouragement, okay? And so just don't worry about, you know, the results of it. Because all we can do is just obey the Lord and step up and serve. But really, it's up to the Holy Spirit to change that person's heart. Right? And it's up to that person to listen to the Holy Spirit. So keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. You know, I mean, read the parable of the sower and the seeds, okay? Go back and read that again. A lot, you know, our job is simply to scatter seed, to serve and to lead, right? Our job isn't to make sure that seed takes root and then grows and prospers. It's just the Bible just calls us seed scatterers. That's our job, okay? So keep scattering seed. Keep leading others. Keep working, encouraging others. Keep serving. You know, keep scattering that seed and allow the Holy Spirit to water it and to make it to grow in their lives, okay? And so there's going to be a lot of people that are ungrateful, but you just keep on serving. Servant leadership isn't always a bed of roses, right? But if Jesus can wash Judas' feet, then, you know, we can pick Cheerios up off the nursery floor, right? If Jesus can wash Judas' feet, then, you know, we can take out the trash, we can make coffee, we can teach the kids, we can change another diaper in the nursery, we can shake another hand. You know, if Jesus can wash Judas' feet, we can do that, okay? So just disregard the downers, all right? Let love be your motivation. And so the last thing is, live servant leadership out in front of the next generation. I think this is just so important. You know, we forget a lot of times that there's a generation coming up underneath us. We forget a lot of times there's a generation coming up underneath us, and they are watching us. And as grown-ups in the church, they're watching to see how we worship. They're watching to see our devotion. They're watching to see how we serve. And it's so important that we live it out in front of them, okay? And Jesus probably could have taught, like, this amazing leadership message at dinner, right? Jesus could have, like, skipped the foot washing and said, hey, guys, I got this great leadership teaching I want to give you while we eat tonight. But instead, he lived it out in front of them by washing their feet, okay? He could have taught it, but he lived it out. And the church needs people who will live it out joyfully so that the next generation sees what it looks like to follow Jesus. You know, so when the next generation sees that our idea of following Jesus is just sort of like, you know, maybe coming to church once in a while and kind of getting grumpy when we got to serve and kind of whatever. And the next generation sees us just sort of like kind of, you know, zoning out during worship or whatever. They're looking at that and they're going, okay, that's what it looks like to follow Jesus. That's what it looks like to follow Jesus, because they're grown-ups. They know better, right? That's what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so we have to understand that we live it out in front of them. I remember ever since our kids were babies, we've been serving at church, you know? And it's crazy because, like, a lot of times what happens is when we have children, we go, I gotta step down for a while, you know? And like, 6 months turns into a year, turns into 2 years, turns into 3 years. You know, and I'm thankful that, you know, we do have people here that, you know, come back after, you know, baby's home and healthy and all that stuff. But, you know, sometimes, parents will just step away and they go, well, I don't want to drag my kids to church all the time. And I remember when Cole was crawling, when he could first crawl, he'd crawl up to the drum set during worship. And he would sit there and he would watch the drummer play, you know. And these guys have been to countless, you know, worship rehearsals. You know, with us, we drag them to worship rehearsals. You guys notice where they are now? Right? You know, except for Forrest, who can't clap on beat to save his life. But still. But Forrest is serving the kids. Forrest is serving kids. He's back there in Mercy Kids, and he's loving the kids, and he's serving them. He's teaching them. He's in the nursery and all those things. And so we drag them. We dragged our kids on missions trips. We dragged them on service project. We dragged them, you know. They had a blast. They had a blast, okay? They've sat through countless worship rehearsals, and we wanted them to see that this is part of serving Jesus. We wanted them to see that serving others and loving others is part of serving Jesus, and that they're not more important than Jesus, and that they're not, you know what I mean? Because isn't that the message we give them when we say, hey, we're going to keep you guys home. We don't want to take you to serve. We don't want to take you on a service project. We don't want to drag you guys to rake our neighbor's leaves. Why not? Because you know what they do? They grab a rake and they rake the neighbor's leaves in the name of Jesus. And so I don't regret a single time I ever drag them to anything ever, anytime, because now they know this is part of serving Jesus and they all serve happily in the church. And I love that about them. I love you guys. You're awesome. Yes. You need to talk about your volume up there. Just kidding. And so that's just what they see. And so they all serve here at Mercy Vineyard, and I love it. And so we live in a culture where we're sort of like consumerism is our default, isn't it? Consumerism is our default. That's the lens that we view church. And church has become just a product, right? A product for people to consume, much like going to a movie or a store or a restaurant. We go to a church, right? Only some of you, never mind. I'm just saying, if you didn't pay for your meal, okay. So it'll be another message on tithing later, Karen. Write that down. So, but like, you know, The church wasn't meant for us to be consumers. That's not God. That wasn't God's idea when he invented the church, right? We're not meant to be the consumers. You know what? We're meant to be the shopkeepers. So we come to church, we're not meant to be the shoppers. We're meant to be the shopkeepers. We're meant to be the ones who put the product on the shelf, to bless people and to give out and to serve. That's what God intended for us. And so the next generation needs us to walk that out in front of them so that they can see what servant leadership looks like. I want my kids to see what servant leadership looks like, right? I want my kids to see what it looks like to worship. I love it. I some of you guys I love so much, and I could just stand here and tell you how much I appreciate you and love you because I see you like living it out in front of the next generation, and it's so awesome. But I want you guys just sort of to imagine the impact that we could have on our community if we all sort of live that out, this idea of servant leadership. If we all kind of live that out, this idea that we're the shopkeepers, you know, I love it. I had, you know, some of you guys, like, I'll see, like, a tissue or a scrap of paper on the floor, and you walk in, and it's not your job to pick it up, and you pick it up and put it in the trash. And, you know, that, like whenever I see that, I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. They love the church. They're the shopkeepers here, you know? And like, some of you guys, there's no such thing as that's not my job. And I just absolutely love that. So I'm glad I get to preach to the choir in a way this morning. But if we could just imagine the impact that we would have on the church and the impact that we would have on our community if we lived this out, this idea of servant leadership. The idea of going, here am I, send me, right? The idea of going, hey, I'll stand in the gap. And if we showed up on Sunday mornings just ready to wash each other's feet, you know, that's just such a wonderful thing. If there was never a shortage of people who bravely stood up and said, I'll lead that, I'll take responsibility for that, I'll give myself to that. You know, if there's never a shortage of, oh, it's such a beautiful thing. If people were motivated by genuine love to see the purposes of God fulfilled in each other's lives, right? And what a difference that would make in our community and a difference that would make for our next generation. Because we have another generation coming up. You know, when we started this church only 5 years ago, Hudson was in kids' church, and now he's a teenager, right? And so now we're actually kind of working on getting some youth programs going, which I'm very excited about. And so we've got some youth events. Actually, is that this Friday? This Friday, we're getting together with every teenager to play Super Smash Brothers on a... we'll talk about that later. And we got a big screen to play it on. We got a giant screen to play it on, and we're gonna play it on a projector. We're gonna play Super Smash Brothers, and we're gonna eat pizza, and we're gonna have so much fun. And so I'm so excited about that. And so, but you know what though? We need people who will say, "Hey, how about I come and help with that? Because I love teenagers, right?" What a great opportunity! And so we can make the next generation great. And so I'm gonna pray in just a minute. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to let the Holy Spirit challenge you in this area. And you know, maybe you kind of been like afraid of leadership, you know, you're doing like the moonwalk when somebody mentions leadership to you, you know, maybe that's just kind of an area where you've been afraid of and you haven't really wanted to step up or whatever. Or, you know, maybe you've kind of been like super extra mega double guarded with your time, you know, and that's okay. You know, we do need to be able to say no, and that's all right. But sometimes we get super mega guarded with our time, and before we know it, you know, when a need arises, we get resentful rather than feeling love towards others, you know. Excuse me. And I just kind of want to challenge you with that today. And so I'm going to pray. Excuse me. But we put out the offering for the end. Karen's going to come in just a minute. But here's what I want to do. If you're thinking to yourself, you know what, maybe I would like to step up, or maybe I would kind of like maybe some more information about serving in kids, or serving on the prayer team, or serving in hospitality, or you know what, I'd like to kind of help out with these youth events that you have planned this year, then all I want you to do is just write it on the back of your connection card. You just grab a connection card, they're in the baskets at the end of the row, and just kind of write it down there. You're not signing up for anything. All you're doing is just, you're just signing up for information to be emailed out to you. That's it. Okay, so you're not signing up to join a team or lead a team or anything like that. You're just getting information. So you can just write that on the back of your connection card, drop it in the offering, and we'll just send you information. Okay, and that would be a little baby step to see if God would have you move in that area. And so I'm going to pray real quick. And then Karen's going to come. Well, let's pray together. Father, God, we make ourselves available to you. God, we make ourselves available to love others through you. Or for you to love others through us. God, we make ourselves available for that. For you to love others through us. God, we make ourselves available to say, hey, here am I, send me. God, I'll stand in the gap. God, I don't want it ever to be said that you searched and found no one. I don't want it ever to be said that you searched and you found no one, God. I want to step in and say, hey, I'll volunteer. I'll serve. I'll lead. Even if there's a cost involved, even if I'm just, you know, tired, God, I'll step in. God, I'll lead. Here am I. Send me. God, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts. Lord, we know that as we do, God, and we walk it out, the next generation sees that and they see what it looks like to lovingly serve and lead others in Jesus' name. And God, our kids and their kids will see that and they won't hesitate to give themselves to you in service. God, we want to partner with you. God, not to be consumers, but to be the shopkeepers. We thank you so much, God, for the way that you love us and the way that you lead us. In Jesus' name.